You're walking going. Are you walking well these days? Do you like walking? Do you enjoy walking? Do you get out and walk for exercise, or is it really only just to get where you have to go from one point to another? Warwick's not an exerciser. He's just a businessman. Okay. Walking can be done for a number of reasons, can't it, that we walk. But being able to walk sometimes is a thing that we take for granted. Because until we lose the ability to walk, we don't really think about it very much. I read a story just recently of a young guy in his 30s. He'd gone through treatment for cancer, and his immune system had attacked his nerves and had gradually paralysed him. He lost the ability to do many different things, and then eventually he got to the point where all he could do was just move one finger and open and close one eye. That's all he was able to. He's completely paralysed. Over a period of time, he was able to, though, be taught to do those things again. His family hassled him and pressured him and encouraged him and wouldn't let him rest. He had to keep exercising. He had to keep progressing and moving. But he needed to be taught the whole process of walking. And that seems something I find hard to understand. You have to be taught to walk. Because for us it just comes so naturally, doesn't it? But he needed to be taught the whole process of walking again. It is something that's natural to us, but it's something that can be lost if we're not careful. One of the key verses in our passage today, if you want to have a look at it, is verse 6. And verse 6 says, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." Whoever claims to live in God must walk as Jesus did. Now, I don't exactly know how Jesus physically walked. He might have had a limp, or he might have had a spring in his step. I don't know. That's not what we're talking about, though, is it? Whoever claims to live in God must walk as Jesus did. The way he obeyed his Father God. The way he lived in a close relationship with his Father God. His love for his Father. All three of those ideas are linked together and help us to understand how it is that Jesus walked. How he lived his life on this earth. And we've got to think about how those ideas are related. Obeying God, knowing God, and loving God. How are those three ideas related? We'll have a look in verses 3 down to verse 7. Verse 3, it says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard." See, those three ideas, knowing God, obeying God, and loving God, are all related in those verses. He says, we've come to know God if we obey him, if we keep his commands. And when you think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you really know that God is the creator of the universe, God's the sovereign Lord of everything, God's the supreme ruler, then it makes sense to obey him. And if we don't, we're really fooling ourselves, living in his world, but not obeying him at all. And so John says we've got to obey his commands. And that word could be keep his commands. We've got to keep them, not just know them, not just do them, but keep them close to our heart. Because as he says in verse 4, it's pretty easy to try and fake it, but it'll be obvious that you are faking it. Look at verse 4. He says, "Anyone can say, 'I know God.' But if he doesn't do what he commands, then that man is a liar." See, words are cheap, aren't they? Words are cheap. And what do we say? Actions speak louder than words. Really, it's in our actions that the evidence of whether we do know God will be seen in our actions. And if there's no evidence there, then our claim to know God is all lies and the truth's nowhere to be seen. We haven't kept his commands. We've let go of his commands. But he says, no, whoever obeys his word truly, in this person, the love of God has been perfected. See, someone who keeps God's word, his commands, his promises. This isn't just head knowledge that we're talking about. This is really knowing God and obeying him. To know him in your heart. Know his love for you and for your love for him to grow stronger. In the Bible, in this part of the Bible, there's a couple of different words for love in the Bible. This word for love is a very practical, serving love. It's not about a gooey feeling like you might get on the movies or on the TV. That's not the love he's talking about here, a romantic love. It's a very practical, serving love. And if anyone claims to know God, he must love God and God know that God loves him. And as you come, as you grow, as we mature as Christians, we'll come to a more complete understanding of what it means to know God, to obey God and to love God. And it'll give us assurance that we are in him. And if we are in him, then we will walk as Jesus walked. That's the key verse, isn't it? Key idea here. If we are in him, then we will walk like Jesus walked. Obedient to the very end. Holding on to God's word. When I was a teenager, I remember it just before church one night, there was a young mum who was part of our congregation, and one of her toddlers was starting to run wild. That's surprising, isn't it? You find that hard to believe. And I remember, very clearly remember her saying, "If you love me, you'll do what I say." And as a teenager, you know, you're going through your rebellious years as a teenager, I thought, oh, that's terrible. You can't say that to the kid. That's manipulating them, isn't it? And I must have said something out loud. I don't remember what I said. But she turned to me and she said, well, that's in the Bible, isn't it? That's how God operates, isn't it? If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And it is, isn't it? It's true. And as you grow and as you grow from being a teenager to an adult, you start to realise the truth in those words, that a relationship of love has to include obedience. And I long for that for my children as well. That's great. But John says, I'm not teaching you anything new here. You know this. You know, you've heard it from a long time ago. These are the same commands that we've always been taught. God's word doesn't change. It's been preserved for us, handed down. And I think John's remembering here the words of Jesus himself. Jesus said the same thing. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you'd look that up, you'd find Jesus saying, if you love me, then obey me. If you love me, you'll obey what I say. These are timeless words, John's saying. You can't ignore them. You can't turn back on them. They have no expiry date. They are commands that will last forever. But these old words, this old command, he goes on to say, has actually been made new. And it's been made new in a very special way through the life of Jesus and through the life of these people. Have a look there in verse 8. He says, yet I am writing a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. See, it's an old command, but it's been made new in the life of Jesus and in the lives of these people. As they've obeyed God, that command has been brought to life, if you like. It's been given a new life. They have been walking in God's love, and there's evidence. He can see the evidence. He can see that the darkness has been passing away and the true light has been shining in their lives. And John can confidently say that these people are living in God. They are walking like Jesus. He's confident about them. But then he brings up, he says, now there's a negative example here in verse 9. He says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is actually still in the darkness. And when he says brother here, he's not talking about your blood brother, but a brother in Christ, a fellow believer, a fellow Christian. If you claim to know God, claim to be in the light, but you hate your brother or sister, then you're still in the darkness. Because it's evidence, isn't it, that God's word hasn't transformed you. You know, God loves this person who's sitting beside you in church or sitting a couple of rows back. God loves them, but you hate them. Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? If God loves that person, then you should be loving that person. And if you're not, then it's evidence that God's word hasn't transformed you. That you're still like he says in verse 11, it's still like wandering around in the darkness, walking in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. You see, they've lost their, they've been blinded not by the light, but by the darkness, and they've lost their bearings. I remember going roo shooting once at Barradine, and we went out in this ute. It was on a property that I knew a little bit, but I didn't know it really well. And we headed out into this paddock, and then after a while, you know, we were swerving all over the place trying to chase these roos, and then through a gate, and then across a gully, and then up a hill, and down the side of another hill, and then back through another couple of gates that I hadn't seen before, and then across this paddock, and we almost hit this gully at 60 kilometres an hour at one point. The bloke's jammed on his brakes, and we pulled up just short of the gully. By the time the roo shooting was over, I had no idea where we were. I was lost in the darkness. I'd been blinded by the darkness. And I remember seeing a light in the distance, so I remember thinking, I wonder which house that is. And he said, well, that's our place. That's where we came from. I thought we were way back over there somewhere. I'd been blinded by the darkness. And that's how he describes these people who claim to know God, claim to live in God, but hate their brother or sister. He says they're wandering around in the dark. They're lost. Do you know someone who's like this? I got a few friends from uni. My university days, we went to the same Christian fellowship group at uni, same church. They, for all intents and purposes, you know, as far as I knew, they were Christians. And I heard about them a couple of years ago, a couple of my friends who've just left it all behind, left God behind, left his commands behind. And they're lost in the darkness. It's a sad thing, isn't it? There's a good story in the Challenge newspaper, the newspapers that we get sent up, and they get put out at the camp outside of town. What do they call it? The Mac Village, outside of town, and spread around our community in different ways. There's a great story in this recent one. This bloke who was a mining engineer in WA, very successful, financially very well off. But he said, my marriage was struggling. My wife had miscarried. I had no genuine friendships. And then his life came to a point, a very critical point one night when he was very ill and he stopped breathing. And these are his words. It said, it felt like something had me by the throat and life was draining from me. At the last moment, I felt like I could see eternity, and it was the darkest, most terrifying blackness I could imagine. There's a man who was lost in the dark, and he knew it. He was wandering around in darkness, looked successful to other people around him, but really he knew that darkness. Thankfully, this is what happened. Immediately recognizing he needed supernatural help, Aaron decided that he would call out to God. And it says, with every last ounce of breath, I called out to him and immediately felt myself being pulled away from the darkness. A great story of a man whose life has been changed by coming to know God. But that idea of going from darkness into light is very important. From being lost, wandering in the darkness, to living in the light. And John wants to encourage his readers in verse 10. He says, the one who loves his fellow Christian walks in the light. What does it say? Anyone who loves their brother and sister and walks lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. So they're not going to wander off the track in the darkness into danger. No, they're walking in the light. And they live in God. That word live could be translated as reside. They reside in God. They are permanently situated in the light. And they won't be removed from that. It's a great assurance for the people that John's writing to. He's saying, the one who loves his fellow Christian lives in the light. And this gives us a bit of insight into one of John's purposes for writing this letter. He wants to provide assurance for these people who he's writing to. See, they're in a church that's under pressure from false teachers. Remember, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about these false teachers, the Gnostics, who think that they're the spiritual giants and that everyone else is a dwarf. And John wants to tell his people, these people in the church, that they're on the right track, that they are walking in God's love, that they are walking in God's light. You don't have to be a spiritual giant like these people claim you have to be. But whoever lives in God obeys his commands. It's as simple as that. And so in verses 12 to 14, he writes to them about how he's feeling about them. A great little poem in verses 12 to 14. And this is what it says. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Great words, aren't they? Words of assurance. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. Keep going. You know God. You're living in God. You're obeying his commands. You've overcome the evil one. You've resisted the devil and his temptations. Keep going. And some people might say, well, is this all right to do? Is this okay? Because won't they just get cocky and full of themselves? I remember what John said last week, though, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. He said, I write this to you so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, turn to Jesus because he speaks to the Father for you in your defence. So he's not saying you guys have got all the answers, you're perfect. But he's saying you can be assured that you're on the right track. And if you stay in Jesus, then you're staying on the right track. He wants to give them confidence to continue. Confidence is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Confidence can be a great motivator. I was reading about the Australian Ashes team recently, and Michael Hussey, he's one of our retired cricketers, one of our retired great cricketers, was trying to give the team some confidence. And he said that in the interview, he said, I feel for these guys. I've been in that situation before where we haven't been playing well and we've been losing games, and it's a horrible feeling in the dressing room. But he said the selectors need to show faith in the Australian team. They're rebuilding after a lot of retirements, but these guys are fine players. And he said these words, we need to show faith in these guys and to keep believing in them. Now, there's a bit of a problem in that because he's placing all his confidence in their ability and he's trying to get them to be confident in their own ability. Now, when you're going through a form slump and your ability is not meeting the standard that you need to win, then that's a bit of a problem because your confidence is misplaced. It's in the wrong place. But he's trying to build them up and give them some confidence. Is that what John's trying to do? No, actually, it's different to what John's trying to do. He is trying to give them some confidence, but not in themselves. This is not about self-belief, but about their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They've been losing people to the false teachers. John wants to give them confidence, not in their own ability, but in their Saviour, Jesus Christ. Remember last week, what Jesus does for us? He purifies us from our sin. He defends us before the Father. He absorbs God's anger against our sin. Great reasons to have confidence, aren't they? Not in ourselves, not in self-belief, but in belief in the Lord Jesus. And he says there's lots of evidence that God's at work in you and that you're living in the light. Your sins have been forgiven. You know him who is from the beginning. You are strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. Imagine if that was written to you. It'd be good, wouldn't it? If you got that letter in the mail and someone wrote those words to you. You're living in the forgiveness that Jesus provided. You're living in the light. You know God. You're strong. You're living in God's word and you've overcome the evil one. It'd be great to have that sort of a letter arrive, wouldn't it? Well, you don't have to imagine it because this letter is not just written for the people back then. It's written for Christians today. These are words that we can take home. These are words that give us encouragement and strength. And I want to confirm this for you here today because I really enjoy watching you as Christians. I really enjoy seeing how God is at work in you. And there's lots of evidence that God is at work in you, that you are living in God. Plenty of people in this church loving their fellow Christians. That's great evidence, isn't it? The evidence that John points to. Are you perfect? No. Definitely not perfect. But as long as we're continuing to trust in Jesus' death, we are purified. Are you purified? Do you know God? Yes, you do. And again, there's plenty of evidence that the depth of your knowledge is growing all the time. You know him more and more. And I want to encourage you to continue to live in the light, to walk as Jesus walked. Keep his word. Keep it close to your hearts. And you'll experience God's love for you, and your love for him will grow as well. Love your fellow Christians. Love your brothers and sisters here. And when you've practiced on each other, loving each other, then you can go and love other people as well and invite them, serve them, and invite them into our church family. How's your walking going? You walking well? How's your walking going? On the way back from holidays, we're listening to the ABC radio. Kids didn't want to listen to the ABC radio. It was my choice this time. We'd listen to the football, and after the football, a little program came on about great walks in New South Wales. And they went through a few different national parks, places you could go for great walks. And it didn't take long before they got onto Mount Caputa. The first bloke couldn't pronounce it, Caputa, but Mount Caputa. And they mentioned the fantastic walking tracks that we find up in Mount Caputa. And it got me thinking, you know, this is right here on our doorstep. This is a great opportunity that we have to enjoy walking in a great environment. And as I thought back, I thought, well, how many walks have I done up around Caputa since I've moved here 5.5 years ago? Probably about 5 or 6. No, I've done a few. Probably about 5 or 6 walks. But really, that's nothing, is it? When we've got this great opportunity here on our doorstep to walk. And it inspired me listening to this radio program. It actually inspired me. I thought, no, I should get out more and do some more of these walks. There's some there that I haven't even done yet. Well, I want you to be inspired by this passage here today. To get out and to get walking. Walking in God's love. Walking in God's light. And walking with the assurance that God gives us. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the assurance that we have that as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're on the right track, that we are walking in the light, that we know you, and that we live in you. Father God, I pray that you would help us to continue to walk in the light, not to be lost in the darkness, stumbling around, trying to find our own way. Father, not to be confident in self-belief, but to be confident in what Jesus has done for us. Father God, please help us to keep loving each other, serving each other. Father, help us to keep your word close to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.